guess the children. Yeah, children off the children's church.
Good morning. Well, I thank you for the privilege to speak this morning. It's always exciting to do that, to bring what the Lord has laid on my heart in His Word. Can you Paul needs it up, a volume up a little bit more. Good? I need to talk louder too, and sit up straight so my voice projects. So last time, well, first of all, today's message, if I gave it a title, it would be Eternal Perspective. And it's James 1, 9 through 11. I'm going to recap a little bit about last time, which was James 1, 2 through 8. And that was about trials and counting it all joy in trials. And what we looked at in there was, we have two things we can do when we encounter trials. We can engage God or we can resist God. When we engage God, we experience growth, joy, grace, thanksgiving, peace, patience, wisdom, fellowship with God, complete lacking nothing. Trials serve as an important part of sanctification. If we resist God, we will receive nothing from the Lord regarding wisdom and trials. It's not that He is holding out, it's that we're hindering His work that He desires to accomplish. We will have a severely stunted growth, anxious, incomplete, double-minded, unstable, lacking everything God has to offer. So it seems like an easy choice to engage God, though sometimes it's hard. Especially in trials. So if we just kind of condense all that down, we can say that trials can make you better or bitter. And I'd like to go back to Denny's testimony, which is an excellent example of how to engage God in trials. He decided that his cancer was in God's hands, and he would be at peace with it regardless of the outcome. That he would use his radiation appointments as an opportunity to encourage others by sharing the peace and comfort that only comes from God. Giving them the encouragement to make it through a tough time. He quite possibly planted the seeds that someone else will water unto salvation. He did this by living in God's grace and sharing it during his time of trial. Once we learn to engage God in trials, then we learn to engage others in trials because we're not wrapped up in the anxiety or worry about ourselves, but have given it all over to the Lord. So James chapter 1 is about trials. However, James is also like a New Testament. James is like a New Testament Proverbs, in case you didn't, the mic cut out. That's an important part. In chapter 1, he addresses specific subjects that we encounter in trials, but he uses universal truths that apply to all of life in Christ, that is. If we grasp these big truths, then the application with practice should just begin to fall in place when it comes to trials. We will start looking at verses 9 through 11 and see how they are directing us to an eternal perspective. We will break that down into three areas that will allow us to focus in on that a little better. Those three things are contentment, stewardship, and the most important, true riches, our riches in Christ. So if we look at James 1, 9 through 11, in just a humble moment, I actually was going to do James 1, 9 through 21, and that was just way too much to get into a message. That's going to probably work out to be three or four different messages. There's some very weighty subjects there. So James 1, 9 through 11. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. And that's speaking of both the lowly brother and the rich brother. Both will pass away as a flower of the field. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. The lowly and the rich in verses 9 and 10 are both brothers in Christ. They both will be short-lived in their span from birth to death. The rich man will fade away in his pursuits, but so can the poor man if his mind is trained upon material things. On the surface, this is purely a contrast in wealth, not a comparison. We, of course, never want to compare ourselves to other people in that manner. Below the surface, we see a condition of the heart. It comes down to a matter of eternal perspective. There is nothing shameful about being poor or wealthy. Both are a relative state that can change in short order. It is like the flowers in the spring that bloom. They are here one week and gone the next. We're about to see that. That applies to us and our things. We and our things are but a vapor, as Solomon speaks of in Ecclesiastes. It is also a relative state because there is always someone who is wealthier and someone who is poorer. Most of us probably consider ourselves to be somewhat poor. We live in Stevens County, right? Yet we have a home, electricity, running hot and cold water, food stores, and a selection of clothes to wear. We drove or rode here in a car today. Somewhere around 2 billion people don't have some or all of those things. If you add all of the other things that we have and consider that we live in a first world country, then by that standard, we just became a lot wealthier. The upper percentile of wealth in the world. We can find ourselves to be poor and rich at times in our lives. Trials can even bring that about. Trials can be the great equalizer, they are called sometimes. It is important to have the right perspective, not only in trials, but in our daily walk with Christ. Now I'm going to kind of shake this up and turn it upside down for just a moment, because we can interject health instead of wealth into this same mindset. Very similar. If you think about it for a minute, you begin to realize just how interchangeable those two are. We won't go any deeper into that, but just imagine that whatever we have materially will not compare to the true riches in Christ. Whatever we have in health will not compare to our new body, which is just part of the true riches of Christ. Whether poor or rich, Material things should not define us or control us. Eternal perspective is what we need to grasp. Now Jesus sums it up in Matthew 6:21, where he says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Always love to hear what Jesus has to say about something. Now, we'll look at the three aspects of a healthy eternal perspective. This is not a how-to, but to remember the importance of these three things. A how-to on each one of these subjects would take a month of Sundays on each one of them. So this is kind of a reminder, and that's what we need sometimes. So those three things, again, are contentment, stewardship, and true riches. We'll start with contentment. It's a big part of learning patience in trials. Contentment is being satisfied with what God has given you, what God has you doing, and where God has you going. Contentment is a God-centered mindset that relies fully on His provision, promises, and will for your life. Now, I'd like to look at our brother Apostle Paul. He knows a thing or two about contentment. And we'll see that starting in 1 Timothy 6:6 through 7. That's 1 Timothy 6:6 through 7. And in that, he says, "Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Being that we are born with nothing and leave with nothing, then we should know that all that we have in between is given by God's grace for His glory, His purpose, and His will." In 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, we'll see that Paul was content in every circumstance because his life was anchored in Christ and focused on eternity. We can call this the eternal perspective. That's 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. That says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." In 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 28, we'll see what Paul considered light affliction in his walk with Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 28. "In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." Wow. That was it was pretty intense, wasn't it? That's what our brother Paul calls light affliction. So our brother Paul had it rougher than I think we ever will. And yet he maintained an eternal perspective and was so selfless in his contentment that his deep concern was that for his brothers and sisters in Christ. His focus was most certainly on the riches of Christ. In Philippians 4, 11 and 12, we will see Paul's secret to being content in all things. That's Philippians 4, 11 through 12. Now remember, all of those things, that quite the weighty list of things that Paul experienced and went through. Consider that when we look at this verse. And it says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That's his secret. He can do all those things through Christ who strengthens him. He gives us all that we need. In Matthew 6:33, we will see what Jesus who strengthens tells us. That's Matthew 6:33. And he says it clearly here, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." When we have an eternal perspective, we see that Jesus will give us all things we need, material and spiritual. Jesus went through more than any of us ever will, including Paul. Yet he was content to do so that we might be saved and experience the true riches. He did the Father's will. Let's take a look at stewardship now. It's hard to look at contentment and true riches without realizing stewardship. When we realize that we come into this world and leave it with nothing, then we see that God gives us all things by his grace, and we are responsible to use those things for his glory and to store up treasure in his kingdom. Now this thought came to mind as I was studying this. It's currency conversion. So if we were going to take a trip to Mexico, we'd go trade our dollars for pesos. I think they still use pesos in Mexico, right? Okay, well, considering that we're all taking a trip to heaven, we should try to convert our dollars into treasures in heaven, because that's where it really counts. And we can use material things for the glory of his kingdom. So that's an exciting thing to know. It's hard to look at contentment and true riches without realizing stewardship. Oops, I already went through that. Sorry. Colossians 3, 23 through 24 is where we want to begin looking at the scripture on stewardship. Colossians 3, 23 through 24. "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ." We are to do all we do as unto Christ. There is a reward for faithful service. If we look to Proverbs 3, 9 through 10, we see that we are to honor the Lord with our possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. We are to commit all we have to Christ, giving back to him the first and the best of what he has given us. And with that, he will bless us greatly. This applies to material things, but has a much greater application to spiritual things. We will look at the next verses as a transition to seeing the need to be good stewards, especially of the true riches that we get a glimpse of and begin to enjoy in our lives here and now before we take full possession of them in eternity. Jesus himself says in Luke 16:11, Luke 16:11, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, which is money, material, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And then Paul tells us in 1 Peter 4:10, he says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This is speaking of the spiritual gifts that we receive upon salvation through the Holy Spirit. We are to be good stewards and use them to minister to one another. Regarding stewardship, we need see that all things given to us, both materially and spiritually, are of God's grace, and therefore we have been entrusted by him to be good stewards of his grace. It is a measure of gratitude for what he has done. Now we can look at true riches. Here is a group of verses as to how we even are able to have access to God's grace, to his riches. I'm going to go through these fairly quickly so they flow through. If you can keep up with me turning, then that's okay. But I want to keep the flow through this because it really tells an awesome story. So Philippians 4:19. Says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then Galatians 4:4-7, but when the fullness of the time had come, Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Now let me recap this. God gave us life to begin with and supplies us everything that we need materially from the time we are born to the time that we die. He knew that we would be born dead spiritually, condemned to eternal death, and needed a Savior to set us free. Here is where the true riches come into play. Our Savior, the King, it's very important to remember that. Our Savior, the King, stepped down from his throne, though he was rich, became poor so that we would become rich. As if saving us was not enough, he made us sons of God through adoption, so we could be heirs of all that God has. To become an heir, someone must die, and that was Jesus. By his death and resurrection, we gain salvation and an inheritance. That is how we inherit the true riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He even gave us a sort of first fruits of those riches by indwelling us with the Holy Spirit so that we could begin enjoying them while we redeem the time before his return. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, grace, mercy, his word, protection, wisdom, understanding, discernment. Not to mention we can earn crowns and treasure in heaven. He will also give us a new body upon his return. Now I'm going to stop listing them because scripture says his riches are innumerable. It is unimaginable that we have truly been what we have truly been. It is unimaginable what we have truly been given and what awaits us through our King Jesus. With that said, let me back up just 1 minute. In looking back through this, we can note, and the reason why I said to take note of our Savior, the King. So we have a King that stepped down to walk amongst us. A king who died for his people. A king who made his people heirs to the true riches. The fullness of all that God has to offer. Of his kingdom. This is a king who's willing to give us crowns. Have you ever heard of a king who would do all of these things? And he even says that one day we will rule and reign with him. Never heard of such a thing, a king that would do all these things. That's an awesome king. So with that said, we must learn to be content and be good stewards of the material things God has given us so that we can focus on the true riches, our inheritance in Christ, and see the importance of his desire for us to be good stewards of our inheritance while we occupy this earth before his return, for we will have to give an account one day. And with this fresh in your mind, I would suggest a good reading would be Matthew 25, and that's the parable of the talent. Would be a good time to read that and see what Jesus says about making use of what he's given us. For he sacrificed a lot to give us those things. That king who did all those things for us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that we can cry out to you as Father, as Abba Father, and that you have given us an awesome King who would do all of these things. Jesus Christ, our King, we thank you for all that he's done and that we have access to your riches. With that, we know, comes a great responsibility, and we pray, Father, that you would help us to be content, of course, in all that you do. Sometimes it seems strange to us what you are doing, but that is our simple minds, not the God of all who knows all things. We pray to be good stewards of that which you've given us, both material and spiritual, especially that of the true riches. We thank you especially, Father, for those true riches that you've given us through Christ. What a privilege that is to have access to that. And we pray that we would make use of that while we're here, both to glorify your name and to be an example unto others and to tell others about our awesome Savior and all that he's done and all that he can do in their lives, starting with salvation. And we thank you for that, Father, which is the greatest riches or greatest treasure of all, is that salvation, that eternal life that Jesus Christ gave us through his work on the cross, through his blood, his redemption of us. We pray to apply these things each day in our lives, Father. And we pray this in the powerful and awesome name of Jesus Christ. Amen.